بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illa.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Shaykh Karimi is the guest speaker for today's discussion from the Islamic House of Qom to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Shaykh Karimi, we know that there are so many family, individual, and social problems nowadays in the world. And when you ask some people who fall in the trap of these problems, they say that we were born in a family that was full of problems. For example, drug addiction was over there. You know, poverty was over there. We were poor. We were born in a religious family, so the religion could not help us. So everything was free and the corruption was over there. How do you expect us not to be corrupted? What kind of justice is this that we were born in a corrupted family and we are now corrupted? How to save from this type of family? What's your answer to that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The question of free will and predestination is one of the first questions raised in the history of Islamic theology. And many people believed in predestination and jabr, and some people believed in absolute delegation or tafwid, and Shia believe in a middle way, neither absolute free will nor predestination. Now, the point is that, as you rightly mentioned, some people try to say that we are forced by different elements to choose the way that we are following. That force can be the family, for example, the parents. The force can come from the environment,
yes,
the school, the country where you live, the city, the region, the neighborhood where you live, your friends, and so on and so forth. So some people call it jabr, or a force coming from other people or the environment. And they want to say that that is why we do not have any free will. We were forced the way that we are following. We were forced to follow the religion, the denominations that we are following. For example, my parents were atheists. Now I'm atheist. They were Christian. I'm Christian. They were Muslim. I'm Muslim. They were addicted. They were corrupted. I'm corrupted. I was forced. I didn't have any other way out. Now, the answer to this claim is that I think the best answer is that we see so many people who are born in the same situation, in the same families, in the same cities, regions, neighborhoods, but they follow another way which is different from their parents, which is different from their friends or the dominant culture of that city, for example. On a daily basis, we may hear the news of many people converting. In the history of human being, millions of people have converted from one religion to another.
Mm-hmm.
And these conversions, at least they prove the possibility of changing.
Yes.
And it shows that there is no jabr, there is no force. So all these people who convert from one religion to another, or from atheism to theism, to following a religion, they were also born into, for example, atheist family.
Yeah.
Or, for example, they were born into a Christian family and then they converted to the religion of Islam. Or they were born in a very corrupt family and then they decided they chose to be a righteous people.
Yes.
So my point is that if it is a force, if it is a kind of jab, then what about these people? millions of people, they have been able to change their life, the way that they follow, the religion that they follow. So it shows that there, at least it shows and proves that there is a possibility of changing. So this is one point. We need to take into consideration all these cases where people were not forced by all these elements. So we cannot talk about a kind of jabber or force, absolute force by family, by school, by colleagues, friends, environment, city, and so on and so forth.
That's right.
The other point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not task any person beyond his or her capacity. So having said the first point, we shouldn't think that all the people are the same. So imagine a person living in a very righteous family, in an Islamic family, in an Islamic country, in a neighborhood where all the people are practicing Muslims.
Yes.
And another person who is born into a family who are, for example, atheists, they are corrupted, and the neighborhood is a bad one,
yes,
and so on and so forth. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expect these two people the same? Of course not. The situations, the facilities, the conditions, everything is different. So let's put it, for example, a Muslim in Iran, of course, is different from a Muslim in, I mean, a Western country, for example. For sure, a Muslim in Iran, which is an Islamic country, has an easier way for following Islamic laws or even for choosing the religion of Islam. And that is why, I mean, Allah's expectations from him are much more compared to the person who is living in a very different environment. And his duties and responsibilities are more. So my point is that a person who is born into a non-Muslim family, for example, a corrupt one, for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to task him based on his or her capacity. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. This is the principle. So we shouldn't think that Allah in the Day of Judgment will judge that person in a very bad environment, in a corrupt family, like the person who is born into a very righteous family. No, the cases are different. And Allah's judgment for sure is going to be different based on the conditions and situation of these two people. And the other point is that the first point that I share, I don't want to negate that these elements do not have any effect. For sure, all these elements play a role, but to some extent, okay? So the family that we are born into, they play a role.
Very important role, that's right.
The friends, the colleagues, the school that we are sent to. Imagine one family sends their child to the best school possible, I mean, religiously speaking, and the other one sends him or her to a different school. For sure, the effects are different.
That's right.
So the neighborhood, the region, the country, and so on and so forth. So all these issues, they play a role, but to some extent. And to that extent, people are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
But the point is that I don't think that we have a case in which there is no room left for free will. So we hardly can think of a person who can claim that I was forced by all these elements to follow this path and I didn't have any other choice. So I'm corrupt because my family were corrupt. I didn't have any other choice. Yes, if he is telling the truth, if really he is what we call it majbur, muhtar, he is or she's forced, then absolutely they are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they didn't have any free will. But practically speaking, hardly we can think of such a person.
Yes.
I mean, at the end of the day, 10% can be given to our free will, or 20%, 30%,
yes,
depending on different people. So all these elements play a role: the family, neighborhood, the school, colleagues, friend. Each and every one of them play the role to some extent. But some percentage should be given to our free will as well. So at the end of the day, we are the one who decide which path and which religion, which denomination we are going to follow.
That's right. And as you said, at the end of the day, we must know that our hope must be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sure.
If, for example, if we lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there have been so many cases during the history, the authentic cases, for example, showing that they were born in corrupted family, but they were changed to good people at the end of the day.
Exactly.
And vice versa.
Exactly, vice versa. Yes. No son is the best example.
Yes, yes.
So, as I mentioned again, I repeat, all these elements play a role, but to some extent. Mm. They are not the full story. Some percentage, which is different from one person to another, is given to our free will, our choice. And that is why even if we are following our parents for following the religion of Islam, this is not accepted as well. Because when it comes to the principle of faith, the main fundamental beliefs, each and every person should think about their religion and about their fundamental beliefs. And you cannot claim that I'm Muslim because my parents were Muslim. Mm-hmm. No, you should think, and this is mentioned in the books of Islamic law by the scholars, that taqlid, following, is only permissible in Islamic laws, in jurisprudence. When it comes to aqa'id, the main fundamental theological beliefs, then each and every person should think himself or herself to find the true path.
That's all right.
Again, I repeat that for those people who may suffer from a kind of despair, they can read the stories of the people who were born into the same family with the same conditions and situation, but then they decided, they chose to be different. I mean, conversion is happening on a daily basis. Conversion means that these people have been living in a very different way. They're, in the majority of the cases, the parents are following one religion, the children is going to convert to another religion.
Okay.
And in that neighborhood, maybe the majority of the people are following that religion of his or her parents. All the people in the schools, in the office, the colleagues, the whole environment is following one religion, and this person decides to change and convert. So I believe that this experience in and of itself, the experience of conversions, is telling us that at least a percentage should be given to free will, and it seems that all the people have a kind of free will, and no one that can claim that I was forced to follow this or that path.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you, brother. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن. حسان إن في الجنة نارا من لبن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن علي وحسين وحسان